I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I really thank my dad for allowing me to preach this morning. And I'm very thankful to Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lord. It's a little weird, though, because as a family and as a church, we're coming through some pretty sad times. And the reason it's weird for me, and it may feel a little weird for you, is because there's, even in the sad times, there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. There's a joy that comes from knowing that eternity is ours and that eternity is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. And today, I really felt like God wanted us to talk about eternity. Eternity. So it seems like kind of a weird word to me because you hear it and people will go, eternity, wow, what's that like? And so somebody said, it's like you got a hummingbird that gets a drop of water in its beak in the Gulf of Mexico and flies to the Pacific Ocean and delivers that drop of water in the Pacific Ocean. And the hummingbird's job is to empty the Gulf of Mexico. How long is that going to take? That's eternity. Now you think about that and put it in context. We're going to break that down just a little bit because when we talk about eternity, we're talking about God. He is eternity. And I just want to, I'm going to follow Sammy's cue from yesterday, and I'm going to take just a minute to defend God for just a minute, okay? Because he gets a bad rep, and he's getting a bad rep from his enemies. His enemies who want to accuse him. And then those same enemies want to show up and they want to ask questions, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He wants to start asking some questions about God. Is God really good? And if he's really good, then why would this happen or that happen? How could he let this happen or that happen? If he's good. And the devil asked similar questions in the garden. If you remember there in Genesis chapter 2, he says, did God tell you that you can't eat of any of this fruit of the trees of the garden? That by itself is accusational, but then, well, no, we can eat all. I mean, he's given us everything in just this one tree. Ah, well, that's because he knows that if you eat of that one tree, you'll end up being like him, knowing good and evil. And then from that, they surmise, well, wait a minute. Maybe God didn't really intend for us to. Maybe he's holding something back from us. Maybe he's not as good as he says. Maybe he didn't tell us the truth. And they ate it, and it caused disaster for humanity ever since. Because the one who lied then became in control of the world. And that's our enemy, known as Satan or the devil. And he's in control of the world. In fact, the Bible admits this and says that he's the God of this world, who is at now at work in the children who disobey God. Been tempted to disobey lately? It's not God asking you to disobey. You've had these questions about, is God good? I'm there with you. I've had the same questions. Is God telling the truth? I'm there with you. I've had the same questions. Does God really love me? Yep. And you know what? He's not afraid of any of these questions. He has an answer. He has an answer to all the questions. And he says that if you'll seek me, you'll find me. If you seek for me with your whole heart. But if you believe the half lies, the half truths, or even the whole lies, It kind of takes your whole focus of seeking Him with your whole heart and pulls a piece of it off and goes, well, wait, what? You mean there's a possibility He might not love me? You mean there's a possibility He might be withholding something from me? You mean He might not want to bless me? You mean He may not be telling me the truth? You mean He might not necessarily be good? So our whole heart then gets distracted from following after God, and it gets turned to following after lies. And nobody can choose this turn but us. And it happens inside. It happens first with our mind. It happens with our feelings and our emotions. It happens with what the Bible calls the soul, that part of us that thinks and feels and selects what's going to happen, makes a choice. And the Bible tells us over and over again, beginning with Adam and Eve, just do what I tell you to do. This is what God's saying to us. Believe me and do what I'm telling you to do. Trust me, that's the word believe, and do what I'm telling you to do. And if you do, the Bible says, things will go well for you. I'm not making it up. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but think this through for a second. What is it? How do you know? Let's ask this. Do you know that there's an eternity? Do you know that there's a God? Don't raise your hand or anything like that, but just think that through for a second. Is that something you know? Oh, hallelujah. Because there's times when you get tested and challenged to say, maybe not. Folks, I started counting it up and I lost count. How many people from our family and our church have gone to heaven in just a short period of time? In 2019, my mother went to heaven. She's the patriarch of the church. The day after her funeral, my wife and I were sitting at my dad's house talking about Mom when my wife's phone rang, and it was the hospital telling her that she had lymphoma and she needed to report to MD Anderson as soon as possible. Within 6 months, we'd been in and out of the hospital multiple times with treatments. But in that period of time, we never once doubted that she was whole and well and healed. It was in her heart. And as soon as they had a chance and it was a part of their process, they tested her. And they came back and said, we're completely amazed. We don't know how, but you do not have cancer. Praise God. Those are the moments where you know that there's a God in heaven, because He assured her in her heart, assured me in my heart, and we found ourselves in a place of seeing that assurance coming to pass where she was completely healed. The doctor was so amazed, he even said, praise God. But then, in November, in a routine test, they came back and said, it looks like maybe it's come back. But it wasn't. It was something else called HLH. If you look it up, as soon as they say it, they think they're giving you a death warrant. We prayed. We struggled. We didn't have the same assurance. I'm going to be honest with you, just tell you the truth. We did not have the same assurance. We didn't know why. We stay up at nights crying and praying together, trying to get that assurance. And it wasn't to be had for whatever reason. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I started wondering and doubting if God really loved us. Did He really tell me the truth? Was He really doing good? I have questions. And when the The deed happened and she headed off to heaven. I cried, obviously. It was a break. We were married 45 years. I'd known her for 50. She'd been the love of my life. She was my best friend, not just my wife. She was my heartbeat. I wasn't sure how my heart was going to beat. And there were times where I wasn't sure if I could actually breathe my next breath. The pain and the agony of laying on the floor in a pile of snot and tears, just crying out, I'm telling you, it's tough. And when I came to the end of that, God brought on this peace from inside that just exploded inside of me when I finally said, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you that you know. And when I said that, that peace exploded inside of me and I can't even explain it to you. And then it turned into joy where I started laughing. And I'm totally by myself and I'm laughing like somebody just told me the most awesome joke in the world, because I just thought it was so awesome that He's in control of everything. And His character is absolutely good. And He is love. And He doesn't tell lies. He's completely the truth. But He tells us that our devil, the one, our enemy, he tells lies. He's not faithful. He's not true. His mercies don't endure every morning. He wants to destroy us and kill us and steal from us. And what He's trying to destroy and kill and steal is not our physical world. He's not really so much after our bodies in sickness or injury. He's not so much after our bank account. He's not so much after the physical being or the physical stuff. He's after the part of us that we can't see. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy the inner parts of us that think and feel and choose. And He does it a little at a time, one lie at a time, one little half-truth at a time, while He tries to get us to turn our whole heart from chasing God to thinking about that lie, to thinking about that question that insinuates that our God is not good. While God the whole time says, I'm not just good. I'm the source of good. It doesn't exist without me. Anything that's good inside of your life, like 45 years with this awesome woman that you were living with, married to, that was good. And the devil says, does He love you? He's saying, He's trying to get across to us, and He speaks. He doesn't yell and scream and try to ask a whole bunch of questions and stomp His feet like some little baby kid like the devil does and try to get your attention and grab your attention and try to pull on your emotions and pull on your physical desires, like all the different physical desires to try to get you to not pay attention to God. God doesn't do that. He just simply says, I love you. I love you. And to prove it, I came from eternity, came into this physical world, and I acted and behaved and became just like you, so that I could feel the sorrow, Lazarus. I could feel the joy. I could feel the agony. I could feel the pain. I could feel everything that you feel and sense and get a hold of everything. I could be you for that period of time, so that I could show you how much I totally adore you. Amen. I adore you. He yells from eternity by sending His Son. I adore you. He yells from eternity by having godly men write on a book in a book that's been saved for thousands of years. I adore you, he says, as he sets the stars in the sky that you can see every night, and they yell in silence, I adore you. And he's not just a God who loves. He is love. Amen. Love does not exist without him.
Amen.
You love somebody? That's God.
Amen.
Now, when I talk about love and when God talks about love, what I'm saying here is not something where I just have this light, fuzzy feeling and butterflies about this person because they just really turn me on. Oh, he or she is the most awesome looking thing I've ever seen. Look how cute. Oh my goodness, I just love him. We're not talking about some kind of fuzzy love. We're talking about a total, outright, full-fledged, completely devoted commitment. It's not a feeling. It's a decision to commit to the good and the things that this person is and wants to be. It's about the other person. Love gives. Love goes. John 3:16, any version you want, says that God loved and was so committed to and so devoted to the world that he gave his only son that was born of a virgin. So that if we believe in him, we'll have eternal life.
Amen. Yes.
So we're talking about eternity, and I'm being as simple as I can, but I mean, this is Christianity, not 101, but 001 for a lot of people. But listen, sometimes we just got to come back to the basics. When you're hurting, when you're sad, when you're torn, when you're ripped, when you don't know what's happening, when you got all these questions, you got to come back to this really basic question. Is God good? Is God love? Can I trust him? And this is a question that we ask during times like this, but it should be a question that we ask and answer every single day of our lives. When you wake up in the morning and you're about to go to school or work or wherever you do, whatever you do, and you ask yourself, God, are you good? Oh, God, you're so good. You're the source of good. I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness to me. And the Bible says in Peter that because of his presence, his spirit, and his promises that he has given us, everything that we need for life and godliness. His presence in us. His spirit in us. Now, some people might not know what I'm talking about, but that spirit that we're talking about, it seems a little scary, doesn't it? It's almost like a horror movie, but it's really not. It's like this is his presence from eternity that Jesus gives us so that we can know, so that we can know that we're connected to him, so that we can know and have an assurance that he loves us.
Amen.
It's like a down payment on a house or a car where you give them money and you sign a contract and you know at that moment, I don't have it right now, but I'm going to have it because I have a down payment on it. I've got a contract, and they've told me they're going to give me this thing. That spirit is that. It's that assurance that I have eternity, and it is mine. And let me tell you that spirit, that presence, is the joy that rises up in times of sorrow. When the ashes are all that's left from the life that's burned down. And you're standing there looking at a pile of ashes and you're crying from sorrow because of what you built or what you had or all the years you put into it or all the effort and work that you put into something, and now it's gone and it's in nothing but a smoldering heap of ashes. And you stand there looking at it thinking, what now? And out of the ashes grows a rose. From the ashes, nothing grows in ashes, but with God it does. And He takes the ashes, and in the Bible in Isaiah it says that He turns the ashes to beauty. To beauty. And I started thinking about that for a little bit. I was like, what do you mean He turns the ashes to beauty? And that's the picture that I got, was a rose growing up out of the ashes. But then just beyond that was this thought. Scars. In heaven, there's only going to be one set of scars. And when He walks up to us and He wraps His arms around us with those scars, Jesus is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I love you. You're so welcome here. And we're going to step back and see the scars. But think this through with me. Those scars, how did He get them? He came from eternity here. He was hated by men. The Romans and the Jewish leaders all took and pierced Him and beat Him and beat Him to a bloody pulp with a whip and then hung Him on a cross. It was His ashes His ashes are His scars. And God has taken those, His Father, our Father in heaven, has taken those and brought those scars and turned those into a medal of beauty, a diadem of awesomeness, jewelry of beauty and splendor. His ashes. Our ashes become our beauty. Because it's those moments where we realize that our God is so faithful to have brought us through the ashes. He never promised we weren't going to die. We're going to have eternal life. He didn't promise us that we're always going to be, have an awesome life and everything's going to be wonderful and blessed the way that we define wonderful and blessed. He's not about necessarily our comfort and how blessed we are and how much money we have and how much beautiful clothes we have or that we have the best boyfriend or the best girlfriend or the best wife or the best, He's not about all that. He's about, again, the things that are inside. Because those are the things that live in eternity. And His book, we call it the Bible. His book is His written word. Now, you're all going to be really excited to hear this, I'm sure. I'm going to pause for just a second and tell you that that was the introduction to the message. I'm now getting the Bible out, and I'm going to actually go to the Scripture. So just to finish that up, my wife is gone, but she is not forgotten, and God has told me that He has plans for me to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. And I trust Him with that, with my whole life. Oh, listen, people, there's times where I get up in the morning and I don't know if I can. I'm not sure if I can get to the restroom because of the sorrow. And I turn to Jesus and I say, dude, You brought me to this place. Take me more. And the joy comes. The joy comes. And when He says the joy comes in the morning, it comes in the morning. But you know when your morning is? Your morning is when you cry out to Him. Your morning is when you say yes to Him. Your morning is when you trust Him. When you say you know what you're doing. You are love. You are hope. You are good. You are not a liar. You tell the truth. You've got plans for me. You've got good plans for me. When you say that to Him, the joy comes.
Yes, amen.
I don't understand everything that happened with Jennifer and Eli. I don't know anybody that does but Him. But I can tell you this. He's got plans. And they're good.
Amen.
And they're good.
Amen.
So I wanted to talk just briefly now about eternity and how we can know. Because it's not something, and we hear the word believe, and I'm not trying to put the word believe down, but if you can imagine if you're walking down a road and there's a door in front of you and you have a little fork in the road and there's a door, it seems to go pretty good that direction, but this direction there's a door. And you're compelled to stop and look at the door because there's a sign on the door. From this side, you look at it and you see the word, believe. And you go, huh. And you continue moving on. You come to the fork again. By the way, you're going in circles. Again, you come to the fork in the road. And you look at this door. And you don't realize you're going in circles, but now you've got this door again. You know, this looks really familiar. I've been here before. Believe. Huh. I think this time I'm going to believe. And you open the door, and you walk through the door, and it's so amazing. It's completely different from where you just came from. It's like awesome. Everything's so beautiful here. And the road is straight. Even though it's narrow, it doesn't curve and go in circles, so you know you're going in the right direction. You're like, whoa, why didn't I do this before? And the door closes automatically behind you and locks. And you turn and look and see a sign on the door. And it says, no. Belief is what gets you in to the kingdom of God, eternity. But once you're there, it's knowing. There's a knowledge. And it's something that nobody can take away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. Not terrorists, not demons in hell, not the devil. No lie. The lies can distract you, but they can't take away the knowledge. And today, before we leave, I want two things to happen. That's why I think we're here, okay, for all of us, me and you included. Number one, if you don't know, if you haven't entered the door, believed and entered the door, and that has never happened, and you don't know, I want you to know before you leave. God wants you to, we all want you to know before you leave. Here. Because we don't know if we're going to see you again. Here on this earth. But we know, if you know, we know that we'll see you again in eternity. Because you've got eternity in you when you know. It's what gives you the know. And that eternity is what keeps you from evil in this world. And that eternity is what keeps you on this path and the guidance on the path. It's not just your parents or whoever. They're trying to guide you in the right path now. It's not your husband or your wife. They may be trying to guide you in the right path now. Not just your pastor or your teachers in school or in church. Jesus is guiding us and wanting us to know.
Yeah.
And we want you to know.
Amen.
In the Bible, written a long, long time ago, in 1 John, the book of 1 John, he says, know. And I lost count how many times he says you can know. But we're only going to look at all of them. We're only going to look at a couple, okay? Because there's three primary ways that you can know according to 1 John. So in 1 John chapter, I think it's 2, verse 3 through 6. If you have your Bibles and you want to open them, that's perfect. 1 John, because we're going to just rest in 1 John. We're going to like move through the book. And this is what it says, and I'm reading out of the New International Version, 1984, and it says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man or the person who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Pause. Truth and eternity, same thing. But if anyone obeys his word, pause for a second, word, eternity, same thing. God's love, I can do this with each of these words if you want, but I think you're beginning to see the picture. Love, eternity, because it's God, He is love. God's love is truly made complete in Him, and this is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him, in Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. And another translation, will walk as Jesus did. It doesn't matter if it's will or must. The point is, it's a choice. So once you've entered into the door and you know and the door closes behind you, you now have a choice. Am I going to hang out next to this door and see how I can get out? And get back into that slime pit and that stuff that I was in before and try to figure out how to go around in circles again in that miserable life that I was in? Because right now I don't feel miserable. I feel awesome. Am I going to try to just hang out as close to the door and say, well, maybe I can get away with a little more. Maybe I can get away with a little more. That's not what this life is about. And maybe even ask myself, do I really know? Do I really have eternity? If I'm thinking like that, if I'm still thinking about everything I can get out of the world and what I can get for myself, because that's not what eternity is about. Love is about giving. It's about being for Jesus and giving the same way that He gave, sacrificing the same way He sacrificed. So now you're here. And what this is basically saying is that we know that we are in Him, that eternity is in us, and that we have eternity as ours because we want to hear His word, hear His commands, and do them. Amen. It's a new desire. It's like this awesome desire to find out what does God want. And so we find ourselves hungry to read this thing and try to figure out what it's saying. Are you hungry to read this thing and figure out what it's saying? Think about that. Are you? And if you are, eternity rests in you. This is an assurance of it. We know because we want to know what He says and we want to do it. It's something we want to do. Now, we may not always do it. We might find ourselves failing doing it. But it's the very fact that we want to do that that shows that eternity is in us, and it's a way that we can know that we have eternity. Amen. Now, so that's one way. His word. Pause. Thank you. It's not only His written word that we're hungry for. It's His spoken word. Amen. Now, God still speaks. He's not mute. When He spoke in the garden, He spoke to prophets. He speaks to people. He spoke to Jesus. He speaks through Jesus in these last days, according to Hebrews. And His Spirit resting inside of us, He speaks to us. Amen. We can hear Him. And we want to hear Him. That's how we know, because we want to hear Him. We want to hear Him communicate with us and have this relationship of love so that we can come to Him about anything and everything. Yes. And hear what He has to say about that. Not only from His Bible, from the Word of God that's written, but from hearing Him. So if we don't have the Bible, if we're in prison and we're being persecuted and we've got people beating us and threatening to kill us unless we denounce Jesus, we still have the Spirit inside of us, so we know that He's there and we don't have to be afraid of whatever they're saying or whatever they're doing, because we know that eternity is ours and it's just a heartbeat away. It's just a breath away.
Amen.
And in that time, we can experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that passes all understanding, because we know.
Amen.
1 John chapter, moving on to, I think it's chapter 3, verse 14. That's notes here someplace. Sorry. 3:14 says, I'm reading again in the nursery. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life, eternity, because we love our brothers. Now, we're not talking about the people in your family. Every time the Bible talks about, most of the time when the Bible talks about brothers like this, it's talking about Christian people.
Right.
Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
In other words, people who have eternity in them. And we, because we have eternity in us, we love people who have eternity in them. I can't tell you how many times I'll be on the job, just hanging out, doing my job, working, and I see some guy, and I go, hey, man, that's a Christian right there. And I walk over and say, hey, dude, you a believer? He goes, I'm a knower. I said, praise God, man, where you go to church? He goes, blah, 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 blah. And you just get, there's a unity of oneness, spirit to spirit, as His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we both belong to the same eternity. And we can know that we have eternity in us because we love other people who have eternity in them. And that's what coming to church is all about. That's what it's about. And so the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Some people do that, but I don't want you to do that, Paul says, or actually I think it was Hebrews. Somebody says Paul wrote Hebrews, I don't care, whatever, shut up, move on. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Y'all didn't. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation because the Holy Spirit is in us and guides us. We're not here to condemn anybody. John chapter 3, verse 17 says that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came to love the world, and so that through Him they could be saved. People can't be saved if we're condemning. They're not going to receive the message if it's condemning. If you're trying to get somebody to do something like a child or a husband or a wife, and you're using condemnation to do it, it ain't going to work. Is that good English? And this is in verse 16. This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And the word ought there, you could just basically say will. Again, it's what we're doing with our soul, mind, choices, emotions. My sister has a better way of saying that. I wish I could say it. It's really awesome. Where is she when I need her? Mind, will, it's a choice. So we're loving them because we have the same stuff going on inside of us. Eternity is there. It's resting there. That's how we know. I don't know about y'all. I get really excited about this. I think this is so awesome because it's not guesswork. It's not, well, maybe, I don't know. Well, you know, I'm trying to be as good as I know how to be. I'm trying to not cuss anymore. I'm trying not to drink and get drunk every day. I'm trying not to smoke weed. I'm trying not to take my dope, and I'm trying not to get with the meth heads anymore. I'm doing the best that I can to stay away from sexual promiscuity. I'm not in, and on and on and on it goes about trying to be good and trying to be as good as you can. But on the knowing side of the door, it's not about trying to be as good as you can. This is the good news. This is the awesomeness of this whole thing. Because Jesus already took away all of the wrongs.
Amen.
Maybe we didn't realize it, but when we stepped through the door, He put robes of white on us, washed us all up from the inside out, and put robes of white on us. And those robes of white are robes that He paid for. It's His goodness that He gives us and just puts it on us, on the inside, in our hearts. The blood of Jesus that's so crimson red washes us so pure.
Amen.
And clean.
Yeah.
I just love that. I think it's so awesome. So we can know because we love His Word. We want to hear His Word. We want to do His Word. We know because we love people who have eternity and they're wanting to do the Word. And we see that in them and we love to be with them. Not just church, but all over the place. Which, by the way, includes not going some places because we don't love those places because they're not actually about eternity. There's some places that are not about eternity. Have y'all noticed?
Yes.
And so we sense that. The Spirit inside of us says, hey, what are we are we going? Where are we going? Because I really don't want to go there. He's with us, and he doesn't want to go there. I think we should pay attention to what he says.
Yeah.
If it's a party, and he says, don't go, I don't care who says go. I don't care what that guy or that girl looks like. Do not go to the party, because Spirit said don't go.
That's right.
If it's a job, and you love it, and they're going to pay you $1 million an hour, and they pay you $1 million an hour and you just love it so much and you can't hardly wait. They think so highly of me and you, but the Spirit says don't go. I don't care who says what. Listen to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The road is narrow, but it's straight. And if you listen to what He says, you won't be going in circles, going around that same mountain, going around that same pain, going around the same anguish of heart and mind. You will find yourself better and blessed in this life because of the eternity that's inside of you.
Amen.
If we pay attention to it and do what it says. I was summing the Word, the people of God, and then chapter 4, verse 13. We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He gave us His Spirit, His presence. That presence that's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. That presence right here. It's eternity right here. I've already talked about it, so I'm not going to just belabor it anymore. What I'm going to do is say this. The Bible says to examine yourselves to make sure that you're in the faith. And it's okay as a Christian to just stop for a minute and say, now, where am I in this situation? A lot has been going on. Damaging, hurtful stuff. I'm in pain. I know you are in pain. I got questions. I know you got questions. But I'm going to stop for just a minute right here and say, answer the question. Is God trustworthy? Can we trust Him? Is there a yes in your heart? And if not, we're going to pray about it right now before we do anything else. Why don't we just pray about it right now all together? I just think that we should just all repeat after me, if you don't mind. If you want to, nobody's forcing you to. No condemnation. If you don't want to, that's fine. But if you want to, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I trust you, Lord.
I trust you, Lord.
You are good.
You are good.
You love me.
You love me.
And your plans for me are good.
And your plans for me are good.
I receive your love.
I receive the love.
And I receive your plan.
I receive
the plan. And I commit my way to you.
You're my hope.
My fortress.
My fortress.
My deliverer.
My strength,
my
strength,
my shield,
my shield,
and I love you.
And I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And there may be some people here today, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't really know that I've actually entered the door. I'm not sure I have eternity in my heart. I really don't know. We want you to know, and you can know today. But here's what it's going to take, all right? Jesus paid the price for all of it. He came from so far away. He came, went through this life. He came, died on the cross. He was beaten. He was naked, hanging on the cross in shame. But the Bible says that he pushed aside and shoved aside the shame for the joy of knowing you. For the joy of knowing you. The joy that's set before him. He was grabbing a hold of that and taking himself right straight through it. There might be a little bit of shame that the enemy wants to teach you about right now. He wants to say, well, yeah, but if you do that, blah, blah, blah. What Jesus is saying is, I want you to stand for me or kneel for me, but I want you to do something that says, I want you. And I'm willing to let everybody know it. I want you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to open the door. That opening of the door, nobody can do that. Nobody can do that but you. You have to choose. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to open the door. And when you do, and you get on the other side, you see it, you feel it, you know it. It's there. Eternity is there. But it requires you knowing that He loved you, knowing that it's not about church or trying to be good. It's not trying to do your best or be the best person you can be. It's not about that. It's all about a personal commitment to loving God with all your heart. And if you've been married, you know that that's what you want. Between a husband and a wife, you want a commitment of loving one another and nobody else. That picture is what Jesus is saying to us. I love you with an everlasting love. I've pursued you. I've romanced you. I've come so that you can love me back. Will you? Will you make that commitment to me to be mine? And no other gods, nobody else's. And when you do, you trust Him like that, He changes the inside. It's awesome. It's a miracle. But that's what we're talking about. Eternity comes and changes you on the inside. Come on now. Who wants to do that? I'm going to invite you. Everybody stand right now, if you don't mind. I'm just going to invite you. I don't know if there's anybody in here or not. God hadn't told me that. I don't know. This is the message He wanted to talk about, so I'm not doing this on my own. I wake up thinking about these things, people. God wants somebody in here to say yes to Him. I don't know who you are. I don't know what it's about. Maybe you've drifted away from Him, and you're like, no, I've kind of started believing some of these lies. I'm turning back with my whole heart. Come on. Turn back with your whole heart. Let's all bow our heads right now and just give everybody just a moment. Because you can do this yourself. It's not me. I don't need to say some prayer. It's you. It's you speaking out. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're going to be saved. You're going to receive eternity. It's like that. It's like I'm confessing with my mouth. I'm believing in my heart. I'm going to open the door and I'm going to trust you. Right now, everybody basically is either praying or has their head bowed. I'm just going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, just confessing, yes, that's me, I am. Put your hand up in the sky and just say, yes, that's me, I am, I am. I'm following after Jesus with my whole heart right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Y'all can put your hands down. Now, who did that for the very first time? This is your first time to ever do that. We're going to help you because sometimes the enemy gets in. First time? Your first time? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you. Thank you so much. So our pastor is Pastor Cowan, Pastor Lewis, and I'm sure he wants to meet you and talk to you afterwards. And we're going to dismiss in just a couple of minutes, okay? God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray with you real quick before we go. Is there anybody else that you would say, this is my very first time? I'm just awesome. Let's all, as believers who have eternity, let's welcome this beautiful person into the kingdom of God. And let's pray right now. Father, we bless you in the name of Jesus. How beautiful you are. You put eternity in the hearts of people. Right now, in the name of Jesus. We speak to the devil to loose this person in the name of Jesus. And everybody in this room to loose them in the name of Jesus. We speak to Jesus. Thank you so much for setting your spirit inside of this person who's just come to you. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus.